How many young people do we have under the age of 20 here tonight? You're 20 years or less. The older folks, don't lie. Be honest. 20 years old or younger. Come on. I want to see all the hands. I want to count them here. You're not 20. Okay. Now, I want to preach this sermon for you tonight. And I want you to put aside all your plans for this sermon time, and I want you to listen tonight. Will you do it, please, please, please? I want to teach you about the commandments of God and why we have them. And if you learn this, your whole life will be different. Okay? Your whole life will be completely, completely different. Now, again, this verse never ceases to amaze me. Most people view the Ten Commandments as a terrible, strict code of regulations that nobody can keep. That's the way most people view the Ten Commandments. An unnecessary restriction on what I would like to do. Do I have to? How many of you guys, come on, you young people under 20, how many of you love to do the dishes? How many of you love to clean your bedroom? Oh, my mother would have made a good slave master. One mother and five mean children. I have four siblings. And she laid down the law. But as a result of her laying down the law in the right way, our house was orderly. And though there is noise at times always when there are children around, it wasn't the kind of confusion that you find in a lot of homes. How many of you would like to live in this country if it was okay to murder people? How many of you would like to live in this country if it was okay to break into somebody's house and steal? How many would like to live in this country if it was okay to take a big steel rod and go beating everybody on the head that you wanted to as you went down the street? And it was okay. If you make practical applications to what people believe to be their rights and liberties, you find out how stupid and foolish they are. You can't live that way without completely destroying society. Now, God is good. That verse in the Psalm 119. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation, my thinking. I think it over and over, and I'm amazed at how wonderful your law is. It is my meditation all day long. Now, if it wasn't good and wonderful, why could David say that? Now, am I right? Most people don't like the Ten Commandments. They'd rather have 10 suggestions or 10 hints. But it's 10 commandments, 10 words from God. And I want you to go to Deuteronomy because we are going to take a look at the essence of the commands of God. What is the true content of these 10 commandments? What's the bottom line? What's the real issue? What is really at issue in these commandments, okay? What is really at issue in these commandments? Go please to Deuteronomy. Did I give you that? Chapter 6. And we're going to find the same phrase in about six or eight verses here. We'll find the same thing, but if you find your place in Deuteronomy, we'll just move right along in consecutive order, locating these texts. All right? And then we're going to relate this to what Jesus had to say in just a moment, okay? Deuteronomy 6:5. You shall love the Lord your God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Deuteronomy 11:1. Deuteronomy 11:1. Therefore you shall what? Love the Lord your God. Notice the word love and the name of God, Yahweh, capital letters, and Lord and God. Deuteronomy 30 and verse number 6. Here he says, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed, your descendants, to do what? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, so that you may die. So that you may what? Live. Ah, love, live. Notice that. Those two things go together. Notice in verse 16, I command you today to what? Love the Lord your God. Love God. Walk in His ways. Keep His commandments and His statutes. That you might live and multiply. That's that you might live and prosper. That the Lord your God may bless you. Joshua 22:5. Joshua follows Deuteronomy. So find Joshua 22, verse number 5. Joshua 22 and verse 5. Be careful to observe the commandment, the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. And what was that command? To what? Love the Lord your God. All right? Joshua 23, next chapter, verse number 11. Here they were to take heed. They were to be diligent to do what? To love the Lord your God. And you go through love the Lord your God. Now, I have a question. Boys and girls, let me ask you. Is it a terrible thing to love God? Is that an awful thing to expect people to do? See? Now, go, if you will, to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. This is toward the end of Jesus' ministry, and they're trying to trick him with various questions, and various issues are coming up. And among them is a lawyer who comes, and he asks him a question, and in the process of asking him the question, he's testing or tempting him. Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse number 35. Matthew 22, verse number 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? All right. Now, Christian Standard Bible just kind of paraphrases it. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest, is the way they put it. Which commandment in the law is the greatest? Jesus responds, this is the greatest and most important commandment. Notice, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang, what's the next word? All the law and the prophets. Jesus is basically saying this, that you cannot have genuine love without a containment of human behavior. It's not possible. It's not possible. The essence of the law is love God and love your neighbor. Now, may I suggest to you, the Bible says, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not kill. May I suggest to you, if you love somebody, you don't kill them. If you love God, you will behave yourself in certain ways. The Lord's Day, for instance. People say, oh, you're getting legalistic. No, we're just asking you, do you really love God? And if you love, how many of you wives would be happy with your husbands if he didn't talk to you but once a week? Huh? Isn't it an awful thing? God expects us to love Him. Our Creator expects us to love Him. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. You shall not have anything alongside of me that you, to which you attribute the attributes of deity. We'll get to that. Don't do that. If you love me, you don't do that. Now, you wives, you know it's all right if your husband has a few other girlfriends. No, that doesn't work. If you love me, you don't do that. The essence of God's law, of all of these commandments, is loving God and loving men. Now, may I ask you, is there any more noble way to live than to love God and to love His creatures? Is there? So, when we talk about these commandments, we are not talking about something that is negative. We are talking about something that is totally positive. Now wait till we get to Genesis. I'm going to save that little. I've got a sledgehammer when I get to Genesis. We're going back there for a little bit in a little while. But the point of the matter is that if you love God, it changes your behavior. Men, if your wife loves you and she leaves a pail balanced on the door, and you push the door open and you get a bucket of ice water on your head when you get home at night, is that love? No, something else is going on in her heart besides love. I'll promise you. Love and behavior go together. They go together. And so you have the commands of God. What's the great commandment in the law? Which commandment in the law is the greatest? Well, this is the greatest, most important commandment. Love God. Okay? You shall love the Lord your God. Now, again, let me take a little time here, because the love we are talking about is a very special kind of love. It is not a fondness. It goes beyond a fondness. It goes beyond what we call camaraderie. You see guys out playing ball, there's a camaraderie, but that's not what we call agapao love or agape love. It goes beyond that. You shall love, this is agape love. You shall love the Lord your God. It captures the proper relationship between God and man, between the Creator and the creature. Now hear me, this is a marvelous thing. Have you ever watched a young man and a young lady and you knew they both loved each other? They were not only infatuated with each other, but they were good friends. And they enjoyed each other. And they were playful toward each other. Have you ever seen that? It's a beautiful sight. It is a beautiful sight, a man and a maiden. And to see them doing what men and maidens do who love and enjoy each other and playing with each other and doing things together. Now, hear me. You read the Bible, does God love us? Who does God love us? God loves us to the extent that He Himself, in the second person of the Trinity, He came to save us from our sins. God did not send an angel. God did not create some kind of a sub-deity to do this. God Himself, in flesh, came and died for our sins. Now, the fact of the matter is that creature-creator relationship is not supposed to be one of animosity and hatred. It's supposed to be one of deep devotion and love. And agape love gives itself to its object with no expectation of return. She didn't pay me. He didn't pay me for making breakfast this morning. Do you really expect your husband to pay you for making breakfast? She didn't pay me for fixing her car. She didn't pay me for going to the grocery store. You don't pay each other for the things you do in devotion to one another, do you? Have I got this figured out wrong? Huh? Love serves another with no expectation of return. It does it because it wants to. It does it out of its heart. Now, God has that relationship with us, but do we reciprocate back in our relationship to God? And the law is all about how this works and violations of this love toward God. The law nails us with how this love is to be expressed and not to be expressed. I'm sorry, man is to love God. He is to give himself and he is to take his world. My business world, my home world, my school world, I am to give myself and my world completely to God. Because God gives His world to me, huh? His sunshine, His rain, His food, His clothing. Yes? God gives these things to me, and I reciprocate. He is to give Him to, so man is to love God. All of my life, all of my world is to be in service to my Creator to fulfill His pleasures, His plans, His purposes. He's the one who made me. And you shall love the Lord your God. Now with all your heart, what is your heart I think, have we had people, there might be someone here tonight that has had open heart surgery. Love God with all your heart. Is that the physical heart? Not really. The heart speaks of this area in which we feel, we have emotions and so on. It's viewed as the seat of physical vitality, the seat of feelings, desires, and passions. It's the seat of the will. It's that which has a capacity to love and to worship. It's the root of the religious life, our relationship with God. And out of the heart, Jesus said, the mouth speaks. Out of the heart flows moral conduct. It comes out of the heart. Now, He said you are to love God, not with some of your heart, but with all your heart. Now, is it unreasonable? Are you still awake? Is it unreasonable for a God who loves us with all His heart to ask us to return that kind of love? Is that reasonable or unreasonable? Oh, there's this big God and He's making all these demands of me. You can't do this and you can't do that and you must do this and you must do that. Well, I can tell that anybody that says that hates God. Love does not complain. Now, my dear, you bear me witness. I never complain. Dear Lord, please forgive me. But love does not complain. Huh? Love does not complain. We're to love God with all our heart. The word all means whole, complete, entire, with everything. Completely, wholly, everywhere. It's a mark of the highest degree on a scale of extent. Complete and extent. The degree of completeness, it includes everything that exists. We are to love God with all our heart. Then He comes to our soul. This is another part of our being. And I don't want to get into the technicalities of this. It'll drive you crazy trying to figure it all out. But it has to do with the life principle and physical life that is within the body. The animating aspect of my being. And I'm to love Him with my heart. I'm to love Him with all of my animation, with all of my energy, with all of my breath, with all of my purpose, my mind, with a whole bit. By the way, when He says all your mind, it means to pass through the mind. He says you are to love God with all the processes of your thought life. All the processes of your thought life. Love God. Love God. That's the faculty of thinking, comprehending, reasoning, understanding. It's your intelligence. Love God with all your heart, with all your mind. Now, go, if you will, to Deuteronomy. Back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Here He talks about us. I'm sorry, in verse number 2. Did I give you that? Deuteronomy 6, verse number 2. He talks about us. He talks about our sons. He talks about our grandsons. And He is giving them these commands so that we might do what? Fear the Lord our God. Look at verse number 24, same chapter. Chapter 6, verse number 24. The Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to keep all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God. And so with Deuteronomy 10 verse 12, Deuteronomy 10 verse 20, you shall fear the Lord your God, serve Him, cling to Him, swear by His name. One of the great scriptures. And I want you to turn here and please underline it in your Bible. And boys and girls, get this one, okay? Underline this one in your Bible. You ought to memorize it. Tremendous verse. 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter number 12. And verse number 24. 1 Samuel 12 and verse number 24. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things He hath done for you. Tremendous verse. Only fear the Lord, serve Him in truth with all your heart. That's what the commands are about. For consider what great things He has done for you. Now, do you remember how I defined the fear of God? It's a two-sided coin. One side, it's this, it's an absolute moral certainty about the outcome of life. The fear of God is the absolute moral certainty about the outcome of life. It's the absolute moral certainty, number one, that God will judge and destroy everything that is wrong. He will. And it's the absolute moral certainty that God will reward and establish everything that's right without fail. It's an absolute moral certainty. I know the outcome of everything if I know how it relates to the law of God. Hear me. If you want your life and your works established for eternity, do what God's law says. The outcome is, if you keep God's law, God will reward and establish all of your works. If you disregard it and disobey it, God will destroy your works and bring them to judgment. The outcome is God's predictable. Those who love God don't need to be afraid of God. Perfect love casts out fear. Those who don't love God live with guilt and fear. So, the commandments of God are about loving God and fearing God. It is wonderful to be able to live here. Boys and girls, are you listening yet? It's wonderful to know if you make the right choices when you're young, that you will reap the benefits of those choices for the rest of your life. I want to remind you again, I need to repeat this also. I have never met anyone that regretted doing what was right, if they did it for the right reason. I've never met anyone that gave their life to God that said, I'm so sorry, I wasted my life. Now, if you give your life to God, some people will tell you, you are wasting your life. You will be told that by some. But you will not waste your life. And I've never met anyone that wasted their life that was glad they did it. Threw it away. So now the commandments are all about what's the end going to be. The outcome of your life, where will it be? You can decide that tonight. Those who love God, work with God, are on God's side. Hear me tonight. Listen. When you love and obey God, if God doesn't honor you, He dishonors Himself. And He can't do that. God cannot do that. If you disobey God and God honors you, He dishonors Himself and He can't do that. He can't do that. Certain things that God cannot do. I'm stuck between the rock and the hard place. Wow. Are you hungry? I'm going to get in trouble if I go to the next section. We're going to go to Genesis. And we're going to answer the question, what gives God the authority to govern all of mankind by these Ten Commandments that He gave to Moses? What gives God the authority to govern all of mankind by the 10 words, the 10 commandments that He gave to Moses? And there's too much in here. If I start with this thing, you're in for 45 more minutes. That's too much. That's too much. So if you won't demand your money back from the offering tonight, we'll quit a little early. That'd be okay. Have fellowship a little bit early. If I get into this thing, away we go. So let's not do that tonight. I'm sorry, but I have to come to the crossroads, see. And I don't dare take you halfway through that and then cut it off. So we don't want to do that. So read Genesis 1, 2, and 3 this week. Read Genesis 10 and 11 this week. Just read those chapters, if you will. Wouldn't hurt to read Genesis chapter, the first 10 or 11 chapters. Read them all. Wouldn't hurt you one bit. But we want to find out. Remember I said this morning, Adam, right after he's created, and God says, look, you got this tree over here. It's called the tree of the, tell me, Which was the bad tree? Of the knowledge of good and evil, now don't eat of that thing. And Adam could have said, who do you think you are telling me not to eat of that fruit of that tree? Woo! Of course, the devil came along and told Eve, you most certainly won't die. He must have been a good politician. Because Adam and Eve didn't die. They didn't die physically that day, did they? They died spiritually. They did die. He told a half-truth. And wrapped it up in the garb of a whole truth. That's the way the devil operates. So it's amazing how all of this goes. And God Himself is a great God. So I want to challenge you tonight. Did we sing that one last Sunday? More love to thee, O Christ. I think we ought to sing it again before we go tonight. But hear me now. Listen. Listen. Look at me for just a moment. If all of us ought to plead with God to give us a greater capacity to love Him. See? We love Him. Most of you would not be here tonight if you did not love God in your heart significantly. Okay? You do love Him. But we need somehow a greater capacity to love Him like we should. Yes? That we could use. And we just need to say, God, give me a heart that has the capacity to absolutely love and serve You. And if God will give that to us, it's a life-changing thing. And when we are living not on the basis of law in the sense that we think of it, but on the basis of love, but you can't separate the law from love. You can't separate the faithfulness of husband and wife. That's law, but you can't separate that from love. Huh? See, the problem is we, in our minds, we have these two little worlds. Here's the law and here's love. But you can't have love without law, and you can't have law without love, and that's what destroys children. But you can't have love without law. It's impossible. Law governs itself. Law is self-governed from the inside. You can't have love without law. It's impossible. You can have law without love. The Pharisees had that. But you can't have love without law. It's impossible. If there's genuine love in a person's heart, it regulates their life. Huh? Yes or no? See, it imposes strict regulations on life. Love does that. And we need to understand that. So we're not looking at God's law as some onerous imposition that God makes upon us because He has it in for us. God's law and God's love go together. God's law is a manifestation of God's love. And if we accept it and embrace it, it becomes a manifestation of love in our hearts toward Him. Can you see that? Can you see it? I'm hoping that you can. I want you, when we get done with these sermons and we look at these 10 words and we can say, oh, how I love Your law. It's my meditation all the day. Love the law of God because the law of God is a manifestation of God's love. And you can't divorce the two. You can't pull them apart. You cannot do that. Have you found it? Come and lead us, please. You know, God is an awesome God. It's impossible to love Him without loving His law. What would you think if I said to my wife, I love you, my dear, with all my heart. I hate the colors you like. I hate the food that you prepare, the kinds of food you like. I like something different. I don't like the way you've decorated the house. I love you, my dear, with all my heart. Now, the law of God is the reflection of God's character. And those who love God love His law. And those who don't love His law have a problem with who and what He is. Can you see that? See? The law of God is the expression of the life and the character of God. He's a great God. And the more you know Him, the more you love Him, the more you love Him, the more you want to live in love like He does. And may God fill our lives full. That we might know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we might be filled up to all the fullness of God. Father in heaven, Open our eyes and draw us near to yourself. Help us to love you with all our heart, all our soul, all our might, all our strength. Blessed Lord, we draw near to you. We ask you that as we leave this place, as we fellowship together in the after service, and then as we go to our homes, to our neighborhoods, to our place of work or school, whatever the situation might be, we pray that we might go filled with the love of Christ and that you will enlarge our capacity to love you. Give great blessing in every life. Fill us up with your fullness. We pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.